Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of It's Crime Time. Today's episode is going to be a short episode, but I wanted to do one on this case because it really bothered me. It's recent, so obviously the outcome hasn't been determined, but yeah, I just wanted to do one on this because I find it to be so tragic, and I want to bring awareness to these sorts of things in terms of just who you let around your children and who you continue to let around your children. So this is the story of the murder of Bella Fontenelle so far. All right, everyone, it's crime time. I would just like to place a warning here because this case does involve the death of a child, and it's understandable if you cannot sit through this, but I just wanted to place a warning here before I continue telling the story. So this case, like I said, is brand new, so there isn't much on it. I briefly saw it on the news. It was just them mentioning what happened, so I wanted to look into it for myself and kind of get an idea of what exactly happened and why it happened. Why was somebody do something this disgusting? But of course the motive hasn't been identified. When you listen to the whole story, you can piece it together and determine basically a motive, or at least what I would imagine to be a motive for this. I have two theories on that. Like I said, the real motive isn't out there yet, so whatever I say about a motive later is strictly my opinion or my thoughts, but it hasn't been released yet. And this case is It's really tough to hear. It's extremely disturbing. It involves a child. And, you know, this came to a shock. I guess it came as a shock to me because all of the murders recently in the U.S. have just involved a bunch of shootings and mass murders, I guess you could say. A lot of gun-related violence. And I'm not saying, obviously, that does not matter. That's not what I'm saying. But this case was just kind of, you know, it happened in the midst of all of those things going on, and it just shocked me. So anyway, I decided to look that up. It involves 43-year-old Boonock Landon, or Hannah Landon as she went by, and also Boonock Lean, I believe is her other name, and her boyfriend Michael Fontenelle. So she lived with Michael Fontenelle, her boyfriend, who is the father of the little girl that this involves, Bella Fontenelle. And Bella was 6 years old. And Bella's parents, Michael Fontenelle and Jennifer Zeledon, sorry if I said her name wrong, I believe that is the English pronunciation of it. I've also heard it other ways. But they had split up and they had joint custody of Bella. So she was kind of living, you know, in between homes, obviously. But it was kind of nice because her parents lived less than two blocks apart. So she could, you know, I mean, she was close to both of her parents, even though they weren't together anymore. And she would spend time in both of their homes. She was a kindergartner at St. Matthew the Apostle School, and she was described by her aunt, Bianca Kano, as being a beautiful, funny, and overall happy little girl. And if you look at the photos of Bella, I mean, this breaks your heart in general hearing about it. But then you see the photos of her, and she's just a vibrant, you know, young, innocent, very pretty, happy child. She's a child. So anytime something happens to a child, people are very sensitive about it, and for good reason, because, I mean, it's a child, you know. It just blows my mind that this kind of stuff happens. But people are sick. Humans are gross. So that's all there is. While not much is known about any of the history between Bella's mother, Jennifer, and her father's girlfriend, Boonock, or Hannah, it's been noted that there were several altercations that had occurred between Boonock and Bella's mother and aunt. The first one being on March 17th of 2021. Boonock and Jennifer got into an altercation at one of Bella's swim meets. I guess I should call her Hannah instead of Boonock, because most of the articles and news reports call her Hannah. So when I say Hannah, that's her. So they were at a swim meet for the children, and the altercation eventually became physical. So I guess obviously somebody confronted someone, started yelling, and it became physical. And Bella's father, Michael, actually had to step in and stop it because obviously it was going to get worse. And then at another time, it got physical again during a soccer game where the women were yelling, and then they proceeded to pull each other's hair. They were shoving, kicking, clawing at each other. And this happened on June 8th of 2021, so very shortly after the first altercation. And then what occurred was that Hannah attempted to get a restraining order against Jennifer and Evelyn Zeladon. She was saying that they were the ones that always initiated the altercations, and they confronted her first, and she was afraid she was going to suffer some sort of immediate and impairable injury, loss, or some kind of damage as a result of these two. So she claimed she was terrified of these two or whatever. So she wanted this temporary restraining order, I guess, before maybe the courts could hear the cases, because she was so afraid that by the time, you know, anybody was reprimanded for this, she was, you know, going to be damaged or, you know, hurt really bad. But I'm going to go on and read a little bit of the restraining order petition that I found. Now, this is just the petition for the restraining order, and I'll get to what happened in a minute. But Fox 8 News, I believe, yes, they're who posted this on their page, and they were discussing court documents that reveal that there was an altercation between Bella's mother and Bella's father's girlfriend. And it is just a document you can view on fox8live.com. But I'm going to go through some of the main points of it here. The defendants are Jennifer Zeladon, obviously Bella's mother, and Evelyn Zeladon. And the plaintiff is Boonock Landon, a.k.a. Hannah Landon. That's what it says on here. The plaintiff fears that she will suffer immediate and irreparable injury, loss, or damage from the defendants before the adverse parties or their attorneys can be heard in opposition. Since defendants have committed battery upon her, they threatened her with additional bodily harm. Therefore, she seeks the injunctive relief of this court for the reasons that follow. Defendant Jennifer Zeladon is the mother of two children, whose father is the plaintiff's boyfriend. On multiple occasions, Jennifer Zeladon has assaulted and battered the plaintiff, including but not limited to shoving, aggressively grabbing and grappling, and making threats of harm to the petitioner's body and life. The most recent incident of abuse on June 8th, 2021, which prompted the plaintiff to file this petition, occurred while the plaintiff was tending to one of her boyfriend's, Mr. Michael Fontenelle's daughters at Mr. Fontenelle's request while at an outing at Riverside Country Club in Harahan, Louisiana. At that time, Jennifer Zeladon, the child's mother, positioned herself behind the plaintiff and grabbed and aggressively pulled and shoved the plaintiff. This physical confrontation continued for some time until Mr. Fontenelle intervened. During the altercation, Jennifer Zeladon made multiple threats of harm against the plaintiff. Past incidents of harm include Wednesday, March 17, 2021, where the plaintiff was in attendance at a soccer game for Mr. Fontenelle's children. Jennifer Zeladon approached the plaintiff and forcefully grabbed the plaintiff's wrist while pressing her body close to the petitioner and stating, "I will hurt you." Later on the same event that day, Jennifer Zeladon approached the plaintiff from behind and aggressively grabbed the plaintiff once again and began to cause another altercation. Defendant Evelyn Zeladon is the sister of defendant Jennifer Zeladon, and on the incident of June 8th, 2021, described in paragraph 3 of this petition, Evelyn charged the plaintiff aggressively and shoved the plaintiff hard enough to jolt the plaintiff's body. The plaintiff felt extremely threatened and feared for her safety. During this struggle, Evelyn Zeladon attacked plaintiff by kicking, clawing, and grabbing her arms and shoulders and pulling her hair. Evelyn Zeladon and Jennifer Zeladon continued to yell at and harass the plaintiff until the plaintiff left the area. And then, of course, there's just a bunch of things outlined in this, you know, stating what exactly the conditions are, you know, prohibiting them from abusing and harassing each other. But anyway, so obviously to file this petition, or yeah, to file this petition, Hannah had to go to whoever writes the petitions in the state of Louisiana and tell them her story, or they got it from police reports. Maybe if the police were called to these incidents, I couldn't find that. It doesn't really say, but I don't believe so. But anyway, her Hannah's claims were not strong enough, apparently, and this temporary restraining order was actually dismissed, as far as I know, according to several sources. It does say that after the swimming incident, Hannah was supposedly served with a summons for simple battery, and the police report does state, quote, Boonock was extremely uncooperative with officers for the duration of their time on the scene, initially refusing to even identify herself, end quote. Boonock told police that Bella's aunt attacked her unprovoked, but she could not produce any witnesses or evidence to prove this. So obviously it was a swim meet, and then there was a soccer game, and there were people there. So somebody saw this, but Boonock could not produce any witnesses claiming that she did not start it, and she wouldn't even allow officers to examine her body for injuries, like bruises or anything of that nature, claw marks, whatever. So she wouldn't let the police look at her. So I think this also contributed to why her restraining order was not granted, because if the police would have been able to maybe prove or provide evidence that, yes, she was injured and she has a right to this restraining order because, you know, she's fearing for her safety, then that probably would have helped her case. But she couldn't prove it, and I think that's because she knew she was lying. Now, I'm not saying the altercations obviously didn't happen. I'm saying maybe she provoked them. And just by the sounds of this whole case, she's, you know, the person that provokes violence. So anyway, that's all the background I could find on everything. And for now, so on Tuesday, April 25th, sometime during the evening hours, Hannah beat and choked 6-year-old Bella Fontenelle to death. And she stuffed her body into a 10-gallon chlorine bucket. So obviously, you know, those kind of buckets, plastic buckets, got the lids on them. Yeah, and contrary to popular belief, because I know a lot of people think that this child had to be dismembered to be placed in this bucket, she was not dismembered. She was intact and just stuffed into this bucket. And it was a 10-gallon bucket, so it's bigger. At first, I pictured a 5-gallon bucket. And when I saw on the news, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, the child obviously was dismembered to fit in there. But no, she was not. It's a 10-gallon bucket, and she was, you know, like I said, the medical examiner obviously examined her body and did an autopsy, and there's no details of the exact injuries other than she was beaten and she was strangled, and there are blunt force injuries to her head, I believe. So that's basically all that's out there right now. And then on a doorbell camera, which I believe is a Ring doorbell camera, and I'm not exactly sure if it looks to be a neighbor's, but Hannah was seen wheeling this 10-gallon chlorine bucket in a wagon onto Bella's mother, Jennifer's, home, like in her front yard, in front of her home, and she led it there. And this happened around 9:30 p.m. So one can assume that obviously Hannah did this, committed the crime a couple hours before, did all this, and then just kind of wheeled it down. Because like I said, it's less than 2 blocks from her home, so, you know, this just disgusts me, hearing this, that she did something like that. You know, if you have a problem with the mother, take it up with the mother. You know, don't use the child to get back at someone. I mean, that's, and no, I'm not saying by any means that Hannah should have killed the mother. Absolutely not. But, you know, maybe continue the legal route or try to talk it out. Try to do something, you know, don't go and kill this woman's child. But after this, Boonock must have not returned home at any point, because Bella's father reported, I keep calling her Boonock, sorry, Boonock, Hannah, whatever, and Bella missing at around 7:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So that'd be April 26th. And I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me that, you know, because people are wondering why he hadn't reported her missing sooner. I mean, where was he when the killing was taking place? But it seems to me, at least what would make sense, is that maybe he works a later shift and he wasn't home when all this was going down, and Boonock or Hannah was watching the child, and she decided to do this. The bucket was found in the yard at 8:20 a.m. shortly after Michael reported his daughter missing on Wednesday morning. And it's interesting to me that they didn't piece this together sooner, because after the crime was committed, Hannah went to the police station and was asking for help. The police chief, Edward Lepre, stated, quote, "She seemed a little bit out of it. She was asking for a transport, so they called for an ambulance to come pick her up. And once the ambulance came to pick her up, they transported her to a local hospital to be evaluated," end quote. So when she was evaluated and everything, she was picked up by police at 1 a.m. on Thursday morning, because the crime was obviously then linked to her. And the police chief also stated, "We're going to work until the end to make sure we get a conviction. This is a small baby, and any family will be devastated. I can only imagine what the mother and father are going through right now," end quote. So Hannah is in police custody, and she is being tried, as of right now, with first-degree murder and obstruction of justice. And at the worst, she could obviously face the death penalty, and then she could face life without the possibility of parole. So they're hoping, obviously, to get their justice and pursue those charges. Sorry. And like I said, the autopsy was conducted, and it was her cause of death was determined to be manual strangulation along with blunt force injuries to the head. So that's all that was stated. Hannah's lawyer has declined to make any comments. She was appointed a public defender, and so far there's no comments from her lawyer. Hannah is not being cooperative with the police. Obviously, she has a history of that, not being cooperative, not answering their questions, not speaking. So that's what's also going on. One of the neighbors of the children and Hannah and Michael and Jennifer, because they all lived in this neighborhood, stated, "I would see the little girl and the older sister out in the driveway playing many times, riding their little bikes. The mother would sit out there with them. The grandparents would sit out there with them. It was just beautiful to watch," end quote. So most of the neighborhood knew the children as being, you know, beautiful, happy little children. And I guess nobody thought, you know, anything like this was going to happen. Bella's aunt created a GoFundMe account, and it was, I believe, to raise $25,000. They disabled it, so you can no longer donate. They raised $41,265, so that's fantastic for expenses related to Bella's funeral and just expenses related to everything that's happened. So Bianca said, "Hello, everyone. My name is Bianca Cano. I'm the aunt of our beloved Bella Fontenot. I would like to start by thanking each and every one of you for your beautiful words, condolences, and prayers. Where do I start, my beautiful Bella? The world is so unjust. You were given to us for 6 amazing years. You are beyond perfection. Your beautiful little voice, your funny personality, the way you danced, the way you were so delicate and fragile, your smile, your laugh, the way you expressed yourself. I can go on and on about how amazing this little soul was. My sister's 2 daughters were what gave her life meaning and strength to go on each and every day. The senseless and heinous act has forever destroyed my family. No words can describe the pain that is running through our bodies. It's truly inhumane. Starting this GoFundMe because as some may know, my sister is a single mother and now her baby was taken from her. How can you pick up and move forward at this moment? So many of you have reached out to me about donating to her. This will allow anyone who would like to donate do so personally to her. All funds will go towards funeral costs, expenses, etc. In closing, I would like to thank everyone again from the bottom of our hearts during these horrible, trying days. No person should ever go through what we are going through, much less a mother and father having to lay to rest a child," end quote. So that's what her aunt Bianca Cano wrote on the GoFundMe account, which is just, it's beautiful and it's devastating. I feel so terribly for the entire family. And as you know, this case will not end anytime soon. They have to go through, obviously, all the legal proceedings with the trial for Hannah to plead, and then the sentencing, so it will be a long time. And right now, that's all I have on it. Earlier, I stated that I had a couple theories on the motives behind this, as, you know, it hasn't been officially released on why she did this, because she isn't cooperative and her lawyer isn't really making any statements about it, and I guess maybe she's not allowed to talk. I'm not sure. But I believe that she committed this crime because she wanted to get back at Jennifer. she wanted to get back at Jennifer for the previous altercations, and maybe she was upset that her restraining order didn't work out and she just wasn't getting her way. So basically she threw a big fit, and to get back at Jennifer, she murdered her child, which is obviously the ultimate, it's the ultimate way of getting to someone or getting back at someone, is, you know, to hurt their family. And that's, maybe that's what she had in mind, was that she was going to do. Or she was so jealous that Michael, you know, maybe was spending more time with the children than her. She wanted, you know, to be the center of attention, but it doesn't make sense to me, because they, you know, he has another child and that child is unharmed. And as far as I know, that child was in the home when this happened. That's confusing to me. I'm not exactly sure how that went down. I've read in several sources that the other child was home. Then I've read that it was just her and Bella at the home when this happened. But either way, so maybe it just had something to do with Bella, like pertaining to Bella. So maybe her and Jennifer's altercations were about Bella, about how she treated Bella, about, you know, things related to her. So she decided to get back at her by killing Bella, which is terrible. It's disgusting, as I've said a million times. If you want to get back at somebody, you know, or you have a problem with someone, go to them. Get back at them, not their child. And I don't mean killing that person, but I mean confronting them or doing whatever you have to do. Go to the law, something. Just, you know, leave the children out of it. But that is all I have for this case. I have ranted enough. So if you enjoyed, please consider subscribing and leaving a rating and review on whatever platform you get your podcasts. I would prefer Spotify. I have been trying to reach a certain, you know, listener amount on there, and it would be greatly appreciated if you could follow me on Spotify and leave a review or just a rating, whatever you prefer. But of course, there's always the option of Apple Podcasts and whatever other platform you use. And I hope you enjoyed, and I hope everyone has a great day or night whenever they're listening to this. Thank you again, and until next time.